God is good all the time.
All the time.
Amen. The Word of God says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I'm going to ask Brother Charles Turner to lead us in a word of prayer. Brother Charles? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Salvation to everyone that believeth. I want to share with you just a little while this morning on the stages of Christianity. The stages of Christianity. For all of you that have been in Sunday school, you know that we've been talking about the stages of life. But this morning we'd like to center more about what being that Christian is all about and how over our life we grow more and more to be like Christ. When I say these words, "on my way," what comes to your mind? Now, I've been married for almost 38 years, and I found out something, and my daughter's listening to me on the phone. My definition of "on my way" is different than my wife. Y'all realize that? And my definition of "on my way" is different than my daughter Heather's definition was. And I heard Debbie say this morning, her definition of "on her way," and Charles back there was a little different this morning. And the definition of Joe and Laurie's definition this morning of "on my way," it was a little different. One of our shows that Sheila and I like to watch, it's getting harder and harder to find shows you can watch on TV. One of our shows that we watch from time to time is Everybody Loves Raymond. I don't know if any rest of you ever watched that show. But Raymond and I have a lot of the same characteristics, I think. And Raymond's way of defining "on my way" is sort of the way I define "on my way." And seemingly in one of the shows that was on, Deborah and Raymond was having a whole lot of problems with. Raymond would set a time that they were going to leave the house. And Deborah just thought that was a suggestion, not anything that it was going to be true. And this had happened over and over and over and over again. And constantly, they were being late to go places. So one day, Raymond decided to set his foot down. Now, all of us guys here this morning, we know what happens to us when we put our foot down or set our foot down. Don't go very far. But Raymond says, "I'm going to make a statement." And he looked at Deborah and he says, "We're going tonight. I'm going to be at the car at certain time, and you need to be at the car at the certain time, and if you're not there, I'm going to leave without you." Well, guess what? Certain time showed up, and certain time, Deborah was not there. Now, we find out later in the show that she got her hair caught in her rolling brush that day, but that was what the problem was. But Raymond went ahead, went to the car, and you know what he did? He left without her. Now, I want to make a caution for everybody here today. Don't do that, okay? Don't do that to your... Don't ever think about doing that. But on your way. One of the things in life, we know that we go through a lot of stages on our way in our life. But also in being a Christian, we go through a lot of things as we are on our way, because we as Christians, we are on our way to where? That place called heaven, right? And that's where we all want to be someday, in that place called heaven. Amen? But we just don't become saved one day and then in the next couple of seconds wind up where? In heaven. We have those stages in our life that we go through. For many of us today, we would say we would love for Jesus just to go ahead and call us home. But we know that's not our decision to make, is it? Because we do not know the hour or the day or the second when Jesus is going to call us home. Because we know, we've been taught throughout the years, our time is not God's time, is it? Our time is not God's time. God has a rhyme and reason for everything. When God wants you home, God is what? going to bring you home. Not when you and I decide. We can't make a certain and incertain reservation to that time or hour. We can make our reservation. We just can't book the what? The date. So during that time of Christianity, what are those stages that we go through in leading up to finding out and placing and knowing that we are saved by that grace of God? First of all, the first stage of Christianity is asking Jesus into our hearts. First stage of Christianity is asking Jesus into our hearts. Over in Acts chapter 9, verse 18, it says, immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. One of the most powerful situations of someone turning their heart and life over to God is the story of Saul, isn't it? Becoming Paul. Because Saul, if you was to go back and define in the days of Jesus and the days of God, you would see how that Saul was probably the chief of the sinners of that day. He was persecuting the church. He was doing everything against God's will. He was doing everything he could to hurt anybody. And that particular day, everybody wanted to stay away from Saul. And a lot of folks think that's what has to happen when you're saved. Well, it was a dramatic adventure for Saul, so much that God changed his name from Saul to Paul. And the scripture says he could see again and he could regain his strength. I want you to know something for all of you that are here this morning that are saved. Your salvation story is just as special as Saul's, isn't it? Because that was a day when you were saved, your life was changed. Not only were you taken care of on this earth, and not only were your whole demeanor changed and your soul that was changed, but now not only are you taken care of on this earth, but praise be to God, you are taken care of in that place called heaven. I've had a lot of people say before, preacher, do you remember who was preaching the day that you were saved? Well, yes, I do. Do you remember who was singing that closing song on the day that you were saved? Well, yes, I do. Preacher, do you remember who prayed with you around the altar that day? Well, yes, I do. Do you remember all of those things? And some folks say, well, yes, I remember who was preaching. I remember who was singing. I remember who was praying. I remember who was there beside me. I remember the people that greeted me and told me how proud they were of me. But you know what? As a Christian, we realize that the song didn't save you, did it? The preaching that day didn't save you. Praise be to God on that day. God saved you. And all of your sins were taken away. That's a wonderful thing to know in our lives. That God was the one in that first stage of your Christian walk. God was the one that changed your life and put you on a different path in your life. I don't know about you today, but I'm thankful for the day God saved me. Amen? And every day, that's what I should live my life by. So that's the first stage of that Christian walk in your life. What would be the next? Second stage of Christianity, being baptized. Over in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, it says, then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, fulfill all the righteousness. Then John conceded. I've been asked many times, what is the importance of being baptized? Well, I believe the next step in your Christian walk is making that step of being baptized and filling that Holy Spirit. And I've always said to myself, if it was good enough for Jesus, what? It's good enough for me to make that step in my life of being baptized. Today, praise be to God, Mr. Red over here is going to be baptized. This is a big day for him. But it's also a big day for the church, isn't it? When we have somebody else that says, not only am I saved, but I am going to take that next step in my Christian walk with God, and I'm going to allow that Holy Spirit to come into my heart and into my life, and I'm going to learn more and more and more about God. Many people say, well, preacher, where do I need to get baptized at? Well, let me tell you, your preacher's been preaching a long time. I baptize people all over the place. I'm going to tell you. Believe it or not, Miss Annette's not here. Taryn remembers. Probably Brother Charles remembers. Brother George, maybe. I don't know if Carrie was here on that Sunday or not, but Miss Annette was baptized right over here in the creek right over here. Somehow, someway, I don't know. I was younger then. But somehow, someway, we got down in there, and Annette was baptized right there. I baptized. A lot of you have been over to Ritter's Mill with me, haven't you? We get in there. You look at the water. It was one time Brother Charles told me, he said, Brother Paul, I don't think we need to get in there this time. It don't smell right. It just don't look good today. So we waited a little while on that. We baptized people over there, dodged people as they're coming down the road and different types of things. I baptized people. Randy Davis, Bush Hall place around a pond over around his house. We baptized a bunch of kids over there. Over at Water Mill over in Cumberland County, I was at Water View. Over in Cumberland County, we used to go over there when I preached at Leslie and Dutch Creek, and we'd go down there and baptize. Let me tell you what they got over in the water in Cumberland County. Y'all want to know? Some big old snakes. And I've got in the water, and I baptized people in the water. We baptized, as we're going to do today, been over to the city park, and I baptized a few folks over there. We've even baptized some people in swimming pools, haven't we? We baptized them there in different places. My neighbor, I baptized him one day in his swimming pool right up the road from me. People say, well, Brother Paul, where do I need to get baptized at? Well, praise be to God, one of these days we're going to have a baptistry here at the church, and we're going to be able to use that. We've used Tompkinsville Baptist Church over to be baptized over there before. I've been with a lot of you during those times. People say, well, which one's the best? They're all the best. Why? Because it's not where you're baptized. It's who baptized you. And it's not me. I didn't save you. Who saved you? God saved you. I don't baptize today. We just do it in the grace of God, don't we? That baptizing. I'm saying I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to come into my heart and to my life. And I'm making that next statement to be more like Christ. Hopefully, we will feel that Spirit of God today. When Rhett's baptized today, I always say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you go down, what with that Spirit, but when you come back up, what you got? Got that Holy Trinity, don't you? That's giving you everything you need in your heart and in your life. I was told that you could take somebody over to the creek and dunk them 50 times. That don't change them. Only God, what? God changes them when they feel that Spirit of God. So that next step in our Christian walk, what's the first step? You got to be saved, right? Second step is being baptized. That third step to me is in a Christianity walk is joining a church. Over in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, it says, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Wait a minute, preacher, are you saying that I can't make it to heaven if I'm not a member of a church? No, I didn't say that. But I believe we all can agree, when you make that commitment of having a church home, it makes it a whole lot better. That you know that you have people there that love you and care for you, I've learned over the years, I don't know where Sheila and I be without our church families. I've had a bunch of church families, but they've always been there to support me. And aren't you glad to know today, and we can all say amen to this, there's not a single person that can hear my voice this morning that you are never alone. You know why? You have a church family that loves you. And a church family at any time, any person here, I promise you, if you called on them, they would be there for you. And when I ask for people to pray for you, guess what? Your church family prays for you. And they earnestly pray for you and want the very best for you. And Sheila and I have seen this in action before. When I was down in Vanderbilt at the hospital, I'd been there for about 3 or 4 weeks. And Sheila came in the room and she had that look of worry on her face. And I was like, oh no, another bad surgery is going to happen, or I'm going to have some other bad test that I've got to get done. But it wasn't anything about that. She walked over to me and she said, honey, guess what? And I said, what, honey? She said, we're going broke. I said, we're going broke. She says, yes. She was staying down at a motel down in Nashville. And if you ever stayed at a motel in Nashville, it's not $19.95 a night, let me tell you. You even pay for parking, a room and parking. And she'd been down there for almost a month, and she was telling me how expensive this was, and didn't know how we could continue to get doing on that. Well, on my phone with my little Vanderbilt app, I was able to keep up with how much they were charging me every day that I was down there. And at that particular time, I looked at my phone, and I think I sent it to Nick and BJ, if I remember right. At that particular time, I had half of what it was going to cost me so far, and it was $1.5 million. Half. $1.5 million. Sheila was looking at me saying, we're broke, and I'm looking at a bill for $1.5 million. Dollars. Thank God for insurance. Amen. Thank God for that. Well, we looked at each other and Sheila said, what are we going to do? And I said, well, honey, one of the things that I realized in life, when things are really rough, there's really only one thing you can do, isn't it? One thing you can do is just pray to God and ask for God's help. And right there in the room, we prayed, talked to God. I felt a little better. I could still see Sheila was a little nervous. She was afraid she was going to get kicked out of her room or something. But she went back to the room. If you don't believe me, you can ask Sheila, because she knows it to be true. She went back to where we were staying. Right there where we were staying, there was a love offering sent to us by our church. And that was the only way that she was able to stay for another week. And the ones of you that sent cards and food and all those type of things, she came back the next day and she said, looked at me, and she had a different look on her face. Sort of like the one she's got back there right now. She had a different look on her face, and knowing that God answered prayers. Aren't you glad to know today that you have a church family that loves you? A church family that takes care of you, that knows what you need. You might say, well, Brother Paul, I've been saved. I've been baptized. I'm not a member of a church. Well, let me tell you something. We'd love for you to be here at Bethlehem to make that next state. Whether all of you know it or not, 4 years ago, I guess, Christian, right? We had zero. Now we're past zero. And we'd love for you to be one more of that stage in your Christian life. And finally, this is the big stage, the final stage of your Christian walk, the last stage of Christianity, making heaven your home. Making heaven your home. Over in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, after this I looked up, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. I always love that song we used to sing a lot. How beautiful heaven must be. I don't think we can wrap our mind around it, can we? How beautiful heaven must be. To get here, we've been what? We've been saved. We've been baptized. And now we're going to receive that glory of God in heaven. I am so thankful that heaven is going to be my home. Amen? But you know what else? I'm also thankful for who's going to be there. I'm going to get to see my mom. I'm going to get to see my dad. I'm going to get to see my grandparents, my aunts, my uncles, my friends. All of those folks that are going to be there, and I can feel their spirit. But you know what's more important than any of that? More important than me being there and all those other people being there? God's going to be there, isn't He? The same God that what? Saved you? The same God that baptized you is now going to help you in that final stage of your Christianity, of being able to receive God as your Savior and God as your going every moment of your day, every hour, every second, that God is there with you. Today, I don't know what stage you are in life. I was told the other day that I'm in the elderly stage now. Well, that's a little scary, isn't it? I don't know if I like it. There needs to be a different word for that, doesn't there? Grown up stage. One of those, but I don't know what stage you are in life. I don't know what stage you are in Christianity. But what's most important, no matter where you are, God's willing for you to be able to take that next step, isn't He? Is the day that you say, so proud of Boston. I've been proud of Boston for bunch of years. So, isn't it great that Boston was willing to talk to somebody about their salvation? That's the most important conversation you could ever have in your life with somebody. Because we say we want everybody to be together in heaven. Really, do we? Because if we do, then we're out telling everybody about God, aren't we? We are sharing that. So today, if you've not turned your heart and life over to Jesus Christ, this can be the best day of your life. This can be the day that you say, I want Christ into my life. And you know what? What's great about our church? You don't have to wait, do you? You don't have to take this class or some other class or talk to somebody else or this other person or decide if you're... I always thought it was funny when people say, I'm not good enough to be saved. No, you're not good. But God's still going to save you anyhow, isn't He? So today, whatever is there that stands between you and God, we invite you to be saved. You hear me say a while ago, I remember the people that prayed with you and was there with you and the song that you were singing. I believe that God can save you right here at this altar. I believe God can save you right where you're sitting at. I believe God can save you at your house. I believe God can save you when it is your time. Maybe you're saying, preacher, I am saved. Maybe that next step is being baptized and making that next step and next commitment to Christ and making that decision in your life. Maybe you're saying, Brother Paul, I'm saved. I'm baptized. We'd love to have you here as a member of the church. You see, I believe we serve an all-inclusive God, don't we? Whatever you need, He will what? Provide. Whatever you need, He will provide. So today, listen to Him, know His will, and take that next step. Listen to Him as we have a closing song. Joe and Laura.